B-Pod Studios.
Let's go to Mike and Bucks.
Oh, I got a little, I got a little nugget for you.
I'm
interested to see how you guys take this, if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
The LA Times thing?
This is from Pedro Maura. He covers the Dodgers for The Athletic. It might be the same thing.
About the first time they've met?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you take that as a good thing or a bad thing?
Okay, so the story is, it's just out there now, that this is the first time the Dodgers have met with Harper. Was Sunday.
Wow.
The first time they met. I take it as a bad thing because all along they expressed, like, you know, we'll be in, but we'll be in short term. But now the fact that that Harper's willing to hear what the Dodgers have to say about a short-term deal, to me, is dangerous.
Because it's been communicated from Boris to the Dodgers that, hey, let's have this meeting because you are a legit consideration. So much so that the manager was on the flight.
Right. So, you know, think about it. You know, not only are they taking it legitimate, they're saying that, you know, we're up for something else. Now, why? All along, they said all they wanted was a long-term deal. And now, all of a sudden, at the 11th hour, they're willing to meet the Dodgers to talk about a short-term deal.
And because the Phillies are the only team going long-term. I mean, if you can't read that. That's why it's worrisome.
That's why it's worrisome. And that's why I worry about him also just not wanting to play here.
Now, the positive light I get out of it is maybe Boris is just doing his due diligence, and then they try to up the offer for the Phillies, and the Phillies pay him.
All right, shouldn't we be beyond that at this point, though? Really, shouldn't we? I mean, shouldn't we be beyond the point of trying to up the Phillies' offer? I mean, John Heyman has sent out 30,000 tweets saying the same freaking thing over and over again. The Phillies are the favorite, but I can't rule out 29 other teams.
Right, because this game should have been done, should have been completed well before John Middleton touches down at McCarran Airport on Friday night.
Yep. This is like watching a dog try and chase its tail at this point. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. This is getting I'm getting more PO'd as this goes on.
I mean, I started out freaked out. I'm freaked out by it.
Jeez.
Because I thought it was done.
Yep.
Didn't you think it was done, Andrew?
Yeah, as soon as I saw Bob Nightingale say Monday, and then I saw Buster Olney say Tuesday. So I said, all right, we don't know the date, but it's going to happen this week. And they're both saying Phillies. Now all of a sudden, here we are. And I'm like, I wake up this morning saying, oh, alert from Twitter. Dodgers back in the room. I'm like, what?
Yeah, wait to hear again. You know what's going to happen next? San Francisco Giants are back in now because he's considering short-term offers. And Boris is going to try and pit those teams up against each other, willing to go short-term.
Yeah.
That's the next stage of this thing.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Mike in Bucks County's on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, Mike.
Frankly, I'm angry.
I was at the Stadium Series on Saturday night, and I got to tell you, the city, the Eagles, the Flyers specifically, came off like a gem. I mean, that was outstanding. Everything was great. I mean, the game itself was pretty good until the last 4 or 5 minutes where the Flyers tied it up and won in overtime, but everything leading up to it, all the pomp and circumstance, fantastic.
Yeah, the presentation was incredible. I think the only complaint I saw was that people weren't into Keith Urban.
Yeah, I thought that was a
bad. Could have done better,
I thought.
That
was terrible.
Yeah, I watched his sound check when I was in there early.
Yeah, but why? That was horrible.
Yeah.
Who made that choice?
Yeah,
Metallica wasn't available?
I'm not a country music fan, but his first tune was like a ballad.
Really?
It just didn't even like kick it off well.
Yeah.
But
I had to go tell him to turn it down. I'm trying to do the intermission report. He's over here jamming out. Right.
Come on, man.
So, man, have a little respect for the intermission report.
the one thing I wanted to say is when I was a kid, Ron Hextall meant, you know, everything as a Flyer to me. And the fact that, and I know Jason, you and I are going to differ on this. Where this franchise, where this team is right now, I when he took over the job and said, hey, I'm going to build through the draft and we're going to be smart with our money and free agents, I was all for it. I don't know. I know he's gone. I know Fletcher's in here and he's going to do his job today and hopefully get some returns. But when is next year finally here.
Next year. It'll be here now.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm being serious, Mike. They finally have, and because of the job that Ron Hextall did, they finally have cap space.
Yeah, I don't think that Hextall was in inky mode of,
no,
you know,
tomorrow will never come.
Right.
No, tomorrow is here. Now you're in the position. And I put this out on Twitter yesterday. I just said, look, don't be surprised when they make these trades for Simmons or whoever today if they get draft picks and prospects in return. And you go, well, we got enough of those guys. Well, you turn those into players in the offseason. You're not going to make a trade for an expiring contract, send an expiring contract to a team trying to make a run, and they're going to give you something off their roster of real value. Because now you're filling one hole and taking another and adding another one.
See, Winnipeg got Kevin Hayes.
Yeah, so they're probably out of the Simmons mix now. I think it's going to be Nashville or
that was a good
Tampa.
Pickup for them.
Yeah, they're just
Kevin Hayes is good.
Yeah, I heard there's a market now developing for Brian Elliott too. Good performance on Saturday night, 40 saves for the Flyers.
I can see that.
The third goal was a bad one.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's right off the puck's going over the net. Hits off the top of his glove.
How the kids out for 10 days?
10 days, yeah. And that was a big buzz over the weekend, man.
Well, I was upset. I was going to call you Friday after we got done the show. I was like, I just talked to him for 4 hours about being, because the word came down that the kid wasn't going to play. Not that he was hurt.
Yeah.
Which later came out. But
yeah, he found that out after.
Yeah. But first, he wasn't playing. It's
yeah.
Like, dude.
From the hockey standpoint, it was the right decision because he wasn't playing well. You could see something was clearly off in his game.
Who cares?
Like, that's fatigue. I would have played him anyway, too. If he was healthy, I would have played him.
Right.
Yeah. Because of what it meant for the fan base to see him. They were there to see him.
Exactly.
A lot of people.
Exactly.
But it turned out to be the right play. The Moose played well, and they get the win, and they can see if they can build on it. They're still in the mix here. 7 points back now with 20 to go. So
I'm with you. All right. Also, do me a favor. Can I get some people... Just to add, you got to talk to me about this Sixers defense and what we saw Saturday. Because we got a game tonight, and I'm curious. You know, they're an underdog tonight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at that line.
To a team that is, you know, that where Anthony Davis isn't going to play a lot.
And they're they're on the road, but he's still a dog tonight, huh?
Come on.
That's a little shocking.
And they got the doors blown off in the second half on Saturday.
Wow. Yeah, well, there's your recency impression that wasn't very good against Portland. Oof.
And, you know, Portland's playing that game. Body clock's at 10 a.m.
You're right. That's a good point. It was an afternoon game because of the stadium series that night. You're right. Good point. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez on the Fanatic. I got to tell you about Window Nation, because before you wish for the winter to be over and the crazy cold weather to end, well, there's one thing you need to take care of, and that's to get your old drafty windows replaced. Why now? In the dead of winter? Well, that's because that's when you get the best deals. That's the best pricing. Window Nation's award-winning installation teams need to work, and the factory is running at half capacity, which means you get great savings right now. So for the next 2 weeks, you can buy two windows, get two free. That's two free windows with every two you buy. Buy four, get four free. Buy eight, get eight free. No minimum purchase. Plus, pay nothing for a year. Make no down payments, no payments, and pay no interest for 12 months. And you can keep Window Nation's expert installers and the factory busy. Plus, you're going to save thousands. So call now, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com. You're wasting money on high energy bills by not calling. Get two free windows with every two you buy. Buy four, get four free. No limit. Plus, put nothing down, and you'll have no payments and no interest for 12 months. So call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Earlier today with Gargano and Martinez.
Please, talk me off the ledge because I'm freaking out. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. This whole thing is driving me bananas. What is up with the Dodgers? We're in Vegas on Sunday when Middleton goes in. That's it. Chief goes in, signs him. Now the Dodgers are there.
Well, Middleton went for one reason. He's the closer. He went out there to be he's the Brad Lidge. In the 08 season, he was going to have the perfect season and close Harper. And when he left and the plane left the ground and he didn't have a deal, That should be worrisome.
That show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson. Try their all-new Dietz Nuts Protein Pack Savory Sausage Snack. Learn more at DietzandWatson.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis.
Yeah, that's us. We sit here familiar territory on a Monday waiting. We wait for the NHL trade deadline. It's a new wait. We wait for Bryce Harper yet again. Now, here's a good thing. We'll see. So, this comes from the Dodgers beat writer, Bill Plunkett. He tweeted out, Dave Roberts on chances of signing Bryce Harper after the meeting. Quote, I'm not too hopeful or anything. It's just something that's ... just talk. It's just conversation.
Yep. See, that's all part of playing the game, too. Like, the manager, when they get asked about this stuff, a lot of times, like, I can't worry about anything but what's in front of me and what I have available. So, like, I think that's all well good, and 1,000 people have tweeted that to me and to you, and I know the bro goes crazy over things like that. Because the bro's trying to read the tea leaves at every turn. Video games.
I tried doing that.
Yeah, it's fruitful.
I don't know. What's he going to say? He's not going to say, yeah, we're close to a deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Probably not.
It's just talk. Because,
by the way, you can't drum up any kind of interest. If you're Dave Roberts, you got to slow play this thing.
Yeah, so what you do is you grab that quote, you crinkle it up and toss it in the wastebin. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they're not really interested. It means nothing. Yeah. And a lot of people want to say, well, oh, see, this means Philly's going to get up. And it doesn't mean that. It means nothing.
Was there a free agent whom you coveted outside of, say, Cujo, that you were on bated breath waiting?
Hmm. Well,
like we did T.O., right?
Yeah, but that came together pretty quick when, you know, because Andy coached him at the Pro Bowl, and then that thing kind of came together pretty quick.
Lindros.
Yeah, Lindros, that was an arbitration decision.
But it was still kind of in that
waiting mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember waiting on that September day or whatever it was, like, and... Oh, it wasn't September, it was in the summer.
Yeah, what's the ruling going to be?
Yeah, did the Flyers have a deal already, or is the second deal going to be the one that binds with the Rangers? And then, boom, it comes out, it's the Flyers. And I remember when they were making the announcement, it was like, this guy's making the case for both sides. Like, which way is he going to go? And then Flyers were awarded.
That was a celebration.
Oh, it was huge, yeah, because it was the next one and multiple cups and everything that was going to come with Lindros didn't happen. But... Yeah, there's
didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's always guys that I look at in all sports. I kind of target. You go, oh, this guy's going to be a free agent. He'd be perfect. Love to get my hands on this guy, right? But so rarely does it end up in Philadelphia. You know, can you remember like the last like Sixers big free agent signing?
Yeah, Moses.
Yeah, I mean, you're going way back to '82. I mean,
like, but here's the thing, though: are we now? Like, I want to go back to, or as we approach the roaring 20s, I want to go back in time to when Philadelphia was owned the sports landscape. So, if I got my timeline right, 76, they get Julius Erving. They sign him. Free agent.
The NBA, yeah.
Like, the greatest, you know, like, that was the greatest player. And he comes here.
Yeah.
To Philadelphia. Back then.
Yeah.
Then you got, just stay Sixers. Then you got Moses, then you're able to draft Charles. Flyers, you know, like they were the talk of the town.
Well,
like
they signed everybody.
Like they were always, right?
Just at the wrong time.
But they were still, you know, like it mattered. Like the Flyers were always an NHL staple.
Yeah. And they were willing to pay big money when the league wasn't capped. I mean, they got Briere that one off season. They made big signings, no doubt about it.
No, we got Reggie in that supplemental draft to USFL.
Yeah, and then he left via free agency.
And we really didn't get any free agents. Well, Ricky Waters.
Yeah, you got Ricky Waters. You got some other ones. The Eagles have gotten some decent. Malcolm Jenkins was a good one.
Nah, but I'm like, think back to when we really wanted the free agent.
Ah, yeah,
like the early 2000s.
Yeah,
are we going to get? Do you remember all those names? Every year was a receiver.
Oh yeah, every single year there was a receiver, and we kept all these different direct guys over the years. I remember linebackers in the early Andy Reid years that we kept thinking that we ended up with LeVon Kirkland, you know, who was gassed at that point. Pete Rose was one. You want to go back?
Yeah, I was going to go back in Pete. That was huge.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Tomey was obviously a big one. And then he had to make way for Ryan Howard. There's some other ones in there. I'm trying to think. Cliff Lee. Spurned the Yankees to come to Philadelphia and take
that
one to play here. Yeah. So, I mean, there were certainly some ones out there. Dykstra came to Philly. Was that free agency or was that a trade?
Trade.
That was trade. And then, you know, there's some other ones, but, you know, it's rare that great players get to free agency because you don't want to allow that to happen.
Yeah, it's rare that those great players move. Like, we're all talking like Trout. Listen, if they were a lock for Trout, I'd be fine. Yeah. Wait for Mike Trout. But I don't believe they are. I don't believe that he's willing to move. I don't think he wants to leave the Angels.
Yeah. And then couple that with coming back home and the distraction pressure and everything that goes with it.
You know, because you know what it's going to turn into? Then it turns into a job. When he's back home, it's, you know, hey, it's
I get tickets.
Right. And then, but if he's at home playing, and I just think it kind of it could ruin it for you.
Yeah.
He's got the best of both worlds right now. He plays 3,000 miles away, and he comes home, and he can be Mike Trout and go watch the Eagles.
Sit in the end zone.
And go hunt with Carson and enjoy his life.
Yeah.
Enjoy being home.
He enjoys the, because it's separate. He has separation of work and personal life.
Yeah.
Because the other one, 3,000 miles away, right? And he's got no problem going to all the Eagles games he wants. He was at the Sixers game a couple weeks ago. So none of that. He's got a good taste of home still. 610-632-0975. Let's get back to the phones and go to Mike in Glenmore joins us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, guys. I got to get you off speaker here.
Right. Thanks, Mike.
I know, because the minute they put me on hold, I heard you beat me up about the no-interest deal.
No, I didn't beat you up. I just said I didn't sort of understand it.
Yeah, well, it's just that, I mean, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, I'm not going to just totally chuck the dude under the bus for his numbers, but, our park and their park are kind of the same park. I mean, dimensionally, a couple feet. 5 feet,
ball,
5 feet left, 4 feet and right.
The ball carries
like
better here.
I understand, but, I mean, the guy's played, on average, over 7 years, about 132 games. He's only hit over 30
homers. Yeah, but see, right off the bat, you're skewing it because you're giving on average 132 when three of the last 4 years, he's played 78 or more. Right?
No. He's missed games. He played 110 a couple of years ago.
No, but three of the last four, he's played substantial parts of the season.
Right, but he's only hit 30, he hit over 41 times. Right? He hit over 30
Go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
But don't you think we need to, I mean, like, wouldn't you rather have $350 million worth of left-handed pitchers?
No. I wouldn't. Because I think in this ballpark, you need to rake. You need to rake in this park. We saw what pitching can do. I love pitching. I love Roy Halladay. I love Cliff Lee. They had four studs, and they couldn't get out of the first round. Four studs.
Well, no, I know, but they won an 08 with pretty damn good pitching.
No, they didn't.
I mean,
no, they didn't.
Cole
they,
Hamels.
They had one, and Myers was okay, and Moyers was okay,
Blanton.
And their bullpen was good.
Well, I mean, they also had two leadoff hitters in the Hawaiian and Jimmy, but the bottom line is, cuz I love you guys, man. You guys, I love you too. Run a great show.
Thanks, buddy.
The biggest thing for me is, and it's not even the money, because it's not my money. I don't care how much money the Phillies spend. They got it. They got tons of cash. I just think that, I don't know. It just doesn't seem wise to me. I'd rather have some left-handed guys and in the bullpen, and we got a ton of good right-handed pitching.
Don't
I understand
you feel good
that.
About the bullpen now, though, Mike?
No. I want left-handed bullpen. I want the bullpen being left-handed.
All right. Well, you got to straighten up your lineup first. If you can't score, it doesn't matter.
Well, they've
he's the piece you're missing.
Free agent acquisitions already. You know, I mean,
but why are you going to go halfway there, Mike? You go all the way. You don't go.
Well, with Machado, a prime example is, and this is probably just from a gambling perspective, but their total wins went supposedly from 76 to 79. Big deal. A couple pitchers get you 10 more wins.
I don't buy that. I mean, and Mike, listen, I respect it. I hear what you're trying to say. I don't deny they don't need left-handed pitching. They don't have a lefty in rotation. And I don't know that Dallas Keuchel's the guy. I have my reservations about Keuchel. Look, he can come in and pitch real well. In this ballpark, you play in this Citizens Bank Park, you need to rake. You need to hit in this park. They won in 08 because they had crooked numbers. Because they went in and Colorado could hit Jamie Moyer for three. They were coming back in the bottom of the first with five. They had power with Howard. They had good right-handed power with Worth. They had that Utley as being that guy. You're right about Victorino and Rollins, guys that could set the table and get on base. Bryce Harper is a legitimate power bat, but he's also a guy that's going to drive home runs for you. Look at him. All right, now I know the people like to say, he only averaged 132. But last year he played 159.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago he played 147. And the year before that he plays 153.
That's the 42 home run season?
Yeah. So the last three of the last four seasons, he's given you basically full seasons.
Yeah. I can't go into it with that worry that he's not going to be available. He's the best free agent available. He's 26 years old. He fills a need, and you have the money. The only question left, Ant, and if we read this right, and the presumption that I'm making, and I don't know if other people are, I'd love to hear what the presumption is from other people, is that he would prefer not to play here. Because as being reported by everybody, I think the one thing we probably do know about these negotiations and everything that's happening is that the Phillies are the only team that's willing to put a decade-long contract on the table for significant money. It seems like we know that. Now, what we don't know is if a short-term deal is a preference of his because it's not Philadelphia, or why all of a sudden he's willing to entertain the Dodgers, maybe re-entertain the Giants, and we'll see if other teams come out of the woodwork now, too, if he's considering short-term offers. But consider this, though, because Machado, the word was, he preferred to play on the East Coast and for the Yankees, but yeah, they weren't in the mix.
He winds up signing in San Diego.
And he took the money.
See, I also think you need left-hand hitter. Like, it's why I like Harper over Machado. Look, I'm in on Machado if there's no Harper, but you get Harper, there's a left-handed bat. I mean, look at your lineup. JT's a stud, right?
Yep.
Behind the plate, right-handed hitter. First base, right-handed Reese. Hitter.
Yep.
Terrific. You know, forget about second because he's even going to lead off a bad ninth, right? Shortstop, right-handed hitter. Third base, right-handed hitter. Outfield, you know, I mean, let's go see what you got.
Yeah. And what do they
Nick Williams is left-handed, but like, you know.
Yeah.
What do you got in him?
You need upgrade. And it's not about just going a couple of steps there. It's about going like, okay, like they did make some improvements this offseason. We're not going to deny that. But you still have a hole.
I mean, I don't like, you know, can you trust Odubel?
No.
Can you trust their outfield right now?
No. How could you?
You know, they need outfield. You know, it's great. You get Machado playing third, but you're still suffering in some spot. I'd rather have Franco at third because I still think Franco can hit a bunch of home runs. And then you have Harper in the outfield.
That's one of the reasons he was my preference, because the third was not this albatross of a weakness, comparatively speaking, when you look at the outfield and what you get in Harper versus what you get in Machado. 610-632-0975. Go to Gary in Riverside on the Fanatic. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Gary?
I know, Jason, I know you said earlier about, you know, how we're kind of making an assumption as to what offer was put out. But we really don't know. And, I mean, there's so many reports out there, you don't know what to believe. But if the latest one from Rosenthal says, you know, it's up to the Phillies whether they want to go 10-year 300. If I'm John Middleton and I go out there and I don't put an offer out there that's 10 years and 320 or 330, then you're begging for them to open up a short-term deal again. You know, you got to get this thing done and put all your cards on the table and wrap it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I agree, Gary.
I just thought that was I thought that was the purpose of the Vegas trip this weekend.
Oh, definitely. It should have been. I mean, I think that's what everybody around here said, and I think if you're Middleton and you go out there and you don't get the deal done, now it's even more pressure on you, because now it's like, how do you not close that? How do you not go out there with the, you know, the biggest check, the biggest, you know, the biggest opportunity to sign a deal, and you can't get it done, because everybody's got a price point. So at some point you got to kind of take a look at your own situation and go, yeah, if every single deal were even, maybe he goes to LA, maybe he goes to San Francisco. But you know, we have a chance to not be every deal. We can outbid everybody and put an end to this. And I think we're still kind of holding on to valuations, and we're still holding on to price points, and it's really, really frustrating.
You know what it is? Because let me ask you a question. They sign Harper. What's your level of interest?
Oh, it skyrockets. The season tickets, he's going to get passed. Everybody keeps saying, like, oh, is he worth that? Is he worth this? He's going to pay, you know, the season tickets and the level of interest. It's going to go through the roof. I mean, this was a first-place team last year into almost August, and the place was still half-empty because there was no spark. Everybody knew it was kind of like fool's gold. It's okay. You put him out in right field, the jersey sales, the season ticket packages, it's going to be hopping again. And you can't discredit that level of interest that, you know, an extra $15 million when you're already up to 300. I understand now we're talking ridiculous numbers, but if you're already around 300 or 310, how do you not go, what's it going to take to get this done? I need to put a number on this.
Yeah, and it just has to get it done. I agree with you.
And you have to consider the alternative. If you don't have him, what does it mean for your team from a marketing perspective, an awareness perspective? Because as soon as they sign him, they sign him for a 10-year contract, he's the face.
Listen, like, I'm sure you're the same way. So I love the Phillies. I'm in no matter what. It's my job, but more it's my passion. All right? Mm-hmm. So whatever. I always watch the Phillies. You get Bryce Harper, and now, like, not only is it I'm watching Phillies and I'm excited, it's like, all right, let's go. Let's make the pact. We're in on every game.
Well, there's a buzz.
We're locked in.
Yeah.
Because that lineup is such a great lineup.
Yeah.
You have an identity. Here's your identity. You're a team that bashes the ball.
And that's what do fans love?
Right. Bash the ball.
And then all of a sudden your wife goes to work and she comes up and goes, all the guys are talking about the Phillies. It's great. Bryce Harper and stuff. I want to go down to a game. Then the fever catches on.
Yes.
And everybody's in. And that's the effect that he can have. And he's
bash
the face.
The ball.
Yep. Let's check our poll, by the way. It's brought to you by Roofing Nation. Get a brand new roof for as low as $7,900 plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation at 833-4NATION or visit roofingnation.com. You're feeling right now that either Harper will sign with the Phillies or Harper does not come here. Over 1,200 votes, Anthony. 56% saying Harper does not come to the Phillies. That's the gut feeling right now that he will not be at Citizens Bank Park coming up in a couple of weeks,
damn,
or about a month.
Damn.
Yeah, I think people are just so over this process of it.
Oh, it's Tyrone.
Yeah, I mean, we've dealt with so much patience in this town over the years, from the Eagles taking 52 years to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got no patience anymore.
Yeah, that's
exhausting. I don't have any patience. I'm done. And that's why with the Sixer team, my patience is running thin.
Very. You are agitated by it. And you went through the process and basketball was taken away.
It's like, you know, now we got squad.
Yeah.
Don't screw up the squad.
So if you got the squad, so, you got to capitalize.
You know, guys are devising defense that can play.
And have some success.
It's going to work.
Yeah, well, you got the star players in town. You got to capitalize now, though.
I need Tyrone, because nobody's called to talk basketball with today.
No, I think this Harper thing, it's got everybody their brain twisted into a pretzel.
Can I get Tyrone for 5 minutes next break?
We'll see if we can book him. 610-632-0975. That is
can
the
you
number.
Book him?
No, Andrew can.
He did a great job, by the way. He, Natalie, and Andrew
on Friday,
I thought, did a wonderful job filling in for Mikey.
Yeah. I agree.
Is Mike back today?
Yes.
Mikey Mick back in the
saddle? Yeah, he's back.
You guys were terrific.
Thank you. We had a lot of fun.
I caught a lot of this show.
Thanks, Ann.
610-632-0975. We'll get back to the phones coming up. Bring the heat at the top of the hour. I got to tell you about the Rothenberg Law Firm. What have you been talking about today? Well, sports radio hosts and fans in this city, we talk about our Philly sports teams and how much winning means to us in this great city. And at the Rothenberg Law Firm, they know how good winning feels and how important it is in this town, because that's exactly what they do in the courtroom for their clients every day, and that's win. Rothenberg Law Firm, Philly proud and Philly strong for over 49 years. And they've been protecting, fighting, and standing up for the injured people of Philadelphia all along the way. If you're like me, you grew up here, you remember seeing Alan Rothenberg on TV. Well, since then, Alan and his family have continued to grow their firm into the trusted household name that it is today. So if you're injured and you want to win, call the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop until they win for you. So here's the number to call. 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can visit their website, injurylawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Because I can.
My honey. All right, sit tight, because we'll get back to the Bryce Harper thing in just a moment. I got a friend of mine who's like, he hates Bryce. And he's like, let him go. He doesn't want to be here. But we'll get to it in a second. But I need Jason... I need a little Sixer talk.
Yeah,
all right?
Sponge some
angst. Do, because on Saturday, the second half was completely embarrassing. They got run out by the Trailblazers in the second half of that
game. Unacceptable.
You know, here you are, you're playing a team on a West Coast body clock at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they run you out of your own building. I don't care that Joe didn't play. Tyrone, that was a disgrace.
It was. It was really bad. They were shooting.
He comes in tempered.
They shot 41% in the first half. And then the coach decides to go small in the second half. And by the end of the third quarter, that percentage was up to 49%. And none of them were jump shots, because they were able to get to the rim.
All layups. All layups. Mm-hmm.
So the question then is, but they were still. No, they were.
Laps and dunks.
Right. So maybe go back to it. In the fourth, he didn't. And then Jonah Bolden's a young guy who's maybe not ready yet. But because Embiid can't play 48 minutes and Boban has his physical limitations, he probably has to play for you. Disappointing that he doesn't put him back in the game and let him take his lumps in live action. Because what choice do you have as far as a backup center in the playoffs?
You got no choice. He is your backup center. So he should be able to live with him for 15 minutes to protect the rim.
Right, and because he struggled, he ends up going with Amir, who was, in 3 minutes, he was minus 10.
I know.
Right, he was minus 10 in 3 minutes.
Listen, I know Brett's trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
And he's trying to use this as experimental time. But certain things he's got to know by now. Certain things he's got to understand. He's got to know about his team right now. And the other thing is that this defense has to change, because this is a losing defense. You play this defense in the playoffs, they're going to bury you.
Yeah, the one thing that was odd is they decided to never double the post, even though they're going small.
Right.
The problem, and that means guys at times were taking Cantor and then were taking 6-7 dribbles to get to their spot, and no help ever came. So that means it came from the coach. Players adjust to that. That's coming from the coach.
No, that was completely what that defense was.
And you're doing that to not give up three balls. But the problem is, one, Portland was cold from three. And two, sometimes you just have to scramble. And if you give up a three, you give up a three, but you can't just give up layup after layup.
You know, it's funny, because if you're not giving up layup after layup after layup, they're scrambling and collapsing on the wrong guy and giving up open threes.
And going back to the Boston game, that was the biggest problem. They say Horford with Embiid, and I get that. I'm not excusing it. What I'm saying is, what you'll find a lot of times is Embiid goes to help. Their secondary rotations are terrible. And then what ends up happening is his man Horford's at the top of the key, wide open, and they go, "Oh, he's killing."
No, he's not. He's supposed to help.
Do you right?
And he's supposed. That's right. His job as the rim protector right, is to help.
And then the secondary rotations all season long have been really, really poor. Honestly, the only reason I'm not more angry today is because of what the Flyers did that night.
So they softened the blow for
you? They did some.
Wow.
Because I was down. I had to do the Sixers Outsiders afterwards. I'm down. And the way the Flyers played
it was awesome.
Magical that it lifted my spirit.
Well, the whole
didn't
show.
Didn't change the fact.
Yeah.
But it lifted my
spirit. Washed it away for a period.
You know what it was?
Yeah.
Like, the show was a great show.
Right.
Saturday night was awesome.
And the
it's
way
a great show.
But everything you said is true. And Brett is now, for the first time, coaching with real expectations.
He's frustrating me. He's frustrated. I'm like, I understand. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt where he's experimental. I understand it. But he's got Billy Lang running his defense, and that defense sucks. All right? It just does. It's a bad defense.
It is. And two things then. But there are positives. There's one positive. Ben Simmons, the last two games, has been amazing. Embiid's coming back. And sometimes in this league, if you have the two best players in a series, you win the series.
Yes. Well, here's the problem. They shouldn't have to. This is a starting five that's good enough to go deep into the playoffs.
Yes.
But they need to go deep into the playoffs. They need to. And they played sloppy in the first game back, which is excusable. Portland's not inexcusable. Embiid or no Embiid.
No,
inexcusable.
And tonight's a big game. Now, they're underdogs in this game. Well, on the road.
And Anthony Davis played 20 minutes late. He's not going to play a lot. They're not going to play a lot.
And that means Okafor now on those same kind of post-ups. If you can't trust your defense to guard him when you know exactly what he's going to do, that's a real problem.
Oh, boy.
But he's a huge problem.
He can get 20-8 for tonight against the Sixers.
Oh, yeah, he can do that.
The other thing that's bothering me is Jimmy's still not where he needs to be.
Now, what's funny is I dug into that. He's playing less minutes than he did with Tibbs. But per 36, his numbers are exactly the same.
Yeah, but it's different, man. I can't look at numbers.
What I'm saying is I think more of this is him than we realize. I think he's a guy who does float in and out of games, but because he was playing 42 minutes.
He filled up the scores.
Right, and you didn't notice it because, oh, he's resting here, he's picking his spots. I think he's conditioned for whatever reason to pick his spots a lot. And he has to come with another gear.
Well,
I'm noticing
he needs to do that.
Yeah, but
especially with Embiid out.
Right. But Simmons now has led the team in attempts the last two games. It should be, you would think, Butler last two games. And it's been Simmons the last two games.
And Tobias needs his shots, too.
Yeah. And he drifts sometimes, too.
Well, he's not, like, I get Tobias drifting because
he's new.
Tobias, A, he's new as a stretch four. He's also a guy that played on a team where, you know, you had Lou Williams chucking him up at a ridiculous rate, Gallinari chucking it up at a ridiculous rate. So, you know, that team was a playground team. This you come here, it's a little bit of a curve here.
No, I agree. But the Butler thing, I agree with you everything about the defense and the coach. But the Butler stuff, more and more I'm starting to think, is him.
All right, well, whatever it is, you know, I need that to be stamped out. He's got to be able to, you got to bring it, you got to be aggressive.
No, I get it.
I need you.
Yeah, but keep hearing he's an alpha and he's sitting back. Like
I think what he would prefer to do is coast through the three quarters. And the fourth, ISO, run a pick and roll with Joel.
And somebody needs to get in his grill like he gets in everybody else's grill and say, stop coasting through the third quarter.
I agree with you.
Yeah, but you can't.
He can dish it out.
Okay. Well, you also need to, if you're the coach, you need to make that stuff happen.
Absolutely. You got 22 games before the playoffs.
You know, this is no joke time, man.
Yep.
This is no joke time. Let's go.
You got to ramp now. You got to ramp it up and get ready.
Now, let's see if they get on a run. This is a big week. You got the Pelicans, you got the Thunder, you got Golden State. Now, the Golden State game, I just don't know how they could possibly win it, Joel or not. But you should go 2-1 this week.
I agree.
You got to go 2-1 this week.
Is he, what did you hear? You hear he's coming back?
Yeah, I think he's playing for
Thursday,
yeah.
Oh, that'd be
Thursday,
great with Westbrook in town.
It's amazing, though. No, what's it? At OKC.
Two
on the road, then back home for Saturday night
home.
On ABC.
Yep. Well, that's right. He'll definitely be back for that.
Yeah. But I hear that he's supposed to be back for Thursday.
Let me ask you one question real quick, because I saw him at the All-Star game, and we know these, you know, high-profile tiffs that he has with Westbrook, Harden, whoever. I mean, whoever he can get the biggest headlines out of, he goes after. These guys, like, genuinely getting annoyed with him.
Yeah, they take it a lot more personally.
They do.
Than he does.
He seems to be having fun.
He's always having fun with it, and they never are. Because he doesn't have a personal issue with anybody in the league, but people have personal issues with him.
Yeah.
He's good. And because he's bet, like, you know, he could play. He's punking them, basically, what's going on.
Yeah, he's making them look like little bitches.
But seriously, he doesn't take it personal with any of them.
Yeah.
But the other guys, for whatever reason, take it personal with
him. They don't want to sit with him.
And it's weird. Because he's joking.
Yeah.
He's not serious.
No,
now Dennis Rodman's mad at him.
But that's the brilliance of him. He's so smart, they take him literally.
Yeah.
They take him in literal fashion.
And what he's doing is adding an element of, you know, theater to it. That off the field, off the court.
Yeah,
a little more fun.
Yeah, I think it's funny.
I need a plan. I don't like the way they're at the plan of attack.
I agree. I think you'll see more of it. And I think what you'll see, I hope what you see is they deploy Ben in different ways and have him pressure the ball up higher. Because guys are getting into their offense too easy. When you have a 6'10 point guard, you can press up higher and make it more difficult for
exactly.
teams to get their set start.
But this is all, that's 101. Why hasn't this been implemented? Their defense has been horrible all year.
I don't know.
Better start coming up with some answers. It's not going to be the spring we were hoping for in the summer.
Ty, excellent job Friday. Excellent job filling in for Mikey.
Thank you.
Crew was awesome.
All right. There he is, Tyrone, being with Mikey Miss. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, the return of Mikey Miss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.